student quarter.
Okay.
I wanted to just take care of a couple operational issues. A lot of the parking outside is two-hour parking. I've been informed by the city that they will not enforce during the course of this meeting, so I wish I'd known that before. So that you don't have to be concerned about running out and filling the meter. And with that, I believe I will open the meeting with a pledge of allegiance led by Board Member Pelletier.
Ms. Gann?
Thank you.
Our colors?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, sir.
Right, I do my list number four.
We'll start off with introductions. At my far right is Kelly Grant from the Trinity Center. To my immediate right is Jeff Hales from Eureka. I'm John Corbin, and I'm from McKinleyville. And to my immediate left is David Norn from Sebastopol. And to the next one down the line is Valerie Minton from Petaluma. And then on the far left is Greg Gusty from UPI. So that's our board members for today, and all are present. I'm going to ask for board member reports. Very brief explanation. We've changed this. So we used to have it labeled only ex parte. And the state attorneys in reviewing it realized we were saying many things that weren't ex parte. So they suggested board reports. In the future, I think we're going to say board reports and ex parte. And the reason for that is the beauty of the ex parte is if a board member is starting to go astray, you can find out early and not during a hearing where you have an independent obligation to state any ex parte. And I found that worked over the years to really keep us out of trouble. So in the future, it will be board member reports and ex parte. And with that, I will start with my far right, Kelly Grant. Do you have anything to report?
I went and talked to the executive director of Matt St. John and Council, and they gave me the go ahead, and I had a meet and greet with the timber industry, and I met with SPI, Humboldt Redwood, and Green Diamond, and we didn't talk about anything about elk, but I, as a new board member, I wanted to understand the business in the region, and that's what we talked about.
Remember him?
I have nothing to report.
I attended the signing of the agreement to remove the four Klamath dams by 2020. And we have both, there's two Governor Browns, one from Oregon and one from California, which caused constant confusion. But both Governor Browns firmly support the agreement. And we were lucky enough to have the Secretary of Interior come out and then Noah Fisheries, their director. And the, of course, the three tribes were there, and other, and the water district, Klamath Water District has representative there. There will be subsequent follow-up to that because they had to jettison a more comprehensive deal because there's a lack of response in Congress. Two, I went to the California Forestry Association, had three parts. One part was the history of water quality and logging. I didn't cover the Dickey Act 1947, but I started with the Port of Cologne Act. And then there's a little bit of discussion on PHI, or pre-harvest inspection. The number, are some of these redundant? Can we be more efficient? And then a little bit on climate change, and was primarily using the 100,000 acre west side as a case study. Where you have a tipping point of either a recent or longer term climate change had dried out the trees, have been very susceptible to pest beetle. How do you deal with that? And then the west side, and also created more fire danger. So those are issues of where you have to be able to change the scope of the environmental regulations. In many cases, out of individual permits, and how do we do that from a regulatory standpoint? Lastly, the board chairs. The state board has been very generous, and this has never happened before, having the regional board start to get involved in the budgeting process. It's very complex, and so, for example, for myself, I think I've got a 9-month lead time to really understand it, and we're, of course, depending on our executive director, as we have all these years without board input. And then we're going to have a committee to help set up the agendas. Board Member Norton.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. So I've had some interactions with some of the cannabis community, grow community in the Sonoma County area, trying to organize around our permit. Had some follow-up meetings with staff that involved some of that community. Continue to have conversations about West County septic and Russian River impairment. And lastly, had some conversations with some of the ag community around some of our ag permit.
Board Member Newsom. Okay. The next item will be our state board liaison. And I want you to be on guard because I can lower or raise your microphone for you.
I'll take that as a necessary hint. I appreciate it. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Stephen Moore. Board member on the State Water Resources Control Board and liaison to the Great North Coast region. And today I want to try to be brief because you have a really big agenda, but certainly want to communicate some of the issues that are going on in Sacramento that really are of interest here in the North Coast region. Thanks, Chair Corbett, for mentioning the chair's meetings. This is something that it's not necessarily required by statute, but it's something that my predecessors and to have regular monthly meetings with over the phone, usually with all the chairs of the 9 regional water boards. And we're trying to create as much sunshine as possible in the budgeting process. We began with the MCC, Management Coordinating Committee of Executive Officers of the 9 regional water boards, and now we're bringing in the chairs into this process, really just to answer the basic questions of how can we get enough resources to staff the regional and state water boards to an adequate level to really meet our goals, but also meet customer service goals and turn around on processing of different permitting actions and as well as financing actions and the range. So we're walking through the complicated budget process. A quick reminder is we're about 80-90% fee supported, so most of our staff are supported by fees we collect from permit holders. And or other types of actions, and so only about 10% is general funded. That's a big switch from the 90s when we were more general funded, and so it gives us a little less flexibility in terms of moving staff resources and money, contract money around. So working together is important for us to strategize and make sure those goals that I described are met in our programs. Quickly, in my updates, I'd like to talk quickly about budget and then some recent activities of the State Board you'd be interested in, some upcoming activities of the State Water Board, and then finally legislative issues, which I'm going to put light on today. That's more of a September kind of update. But this time of year, budget is more on our minds, and on the eve of the May revise of the governor's proposed budget for fiscal year 2016-2017, I wasn't here in January, and as far as the proposed governor's budget, there are a lot of resources proposed for this region here in the North Coast that relate to the cannabis program. Right now, there's a proposal to increase the budget by $5.7 million, which is, interestingly, it's $5.2 million of general fund and about $500,000 of the permit fund, the fee-supported fund. So it's still very skewed in this proposal to general fund the growing, evolving cannabis program. But is intent of the legislature and the administration to move over time to a fee-supported program for cannabis regulation. So that is an interesting glimpse into sort of the breakdown at this point in time. This would fund 35 positions, and it's intended to develop and implement the regulatory program, which we'll hear more about today. in terms of its effects on water quality, water supply, and natural resources, and diversion of surface waters. So the whole range of issues. It's 35 positions would be shared among regional boards, particularly this one, Central Valley, but also the new law, AB 243, requires all regional water boards to have a cannabis cultivation regulatory program. So it's of note. It doesn't all come here. Sorry. There are other proposals in the budget, increasing 7 positions in our water rights division to do more timely processing of water rights applications, change petitions, and licensing. You may have heard about SB 88. It had many dimensions to it, one of which was authority of the State Water Board under its drinking water program to consolidate water systems to better protect public health. And, you know, it raised a lot of concern about the state coming in and reorganizing governance of water. This is not a rapidly moving program, and there are a lot of checks and balances, and we're only just now moving forward with a single case here 8 months later in Tulare County in the Central Valley, where it's like a donut hole, underserved community within an existing water district that we're requiring to be consolidated. So, yeah, the world didn't end, you know, and things aren't being completely redone, but we're being strategic with our drinking water division. You know, in the budget summary that staff prepared, you know, for those in the audience who aren't real familiar with the State Water Board and the regional water boards, there's a nice description of what state board activities include. For your information, we include regulatory oversight of the state's surface, ground, and coastal waters, allocation of unappropriated water, control of unauthorized water diversions, protection of water quality in watersheds and coastal waters from point source and non-point sources of pollution, and protection and improvement of public health from water used for consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes. I thought I'd just read that aloud just to remind folks of the breadth of what we're doing in our regulatory programs. And on top of that, we have funding programs for voter-approved bond funds like Prop 1 that was passed in 2014, as well as Clean Water State Revolving Fund programs to issue low-interest loans. One thing that I think might be of real interest to the water board members here is that part of the governor's budget is to change the compensations for regional water board members from $100 a day to $500 a day. This, the $100 a day dates back to the 70s or 80s, I believe. And when I was on the San Francisco Bay Regional Water Board, I remember getting my $100 for a couple days work preparing and attending meetings. So there's recognition that this, to be able to, especially for maybe folks that aren't independently wealthy, you know, and have to travel far, like in a region like this one, or Central Coast, or Lahontan, which is the Tahoe and Mojave Desert, $100 doesn't quite cut it for a lot of folks to get the input into our public process. So it's an ongoing discussion, but there's also flexibility built in so that regions like North Coast that have more travel involved can we can move money around to really meet the needs. Because where I was in San Francisco Bay, we would only have board meetings in one location, and so there wasn't as much travel time. Okay, so those are just some really high-level budget discussions. It's been busy, as you know, the state board, and recent actions I'd like to point to since I've talked to you last, because I haven't talked to you in 2016 yet. And of course, thanks to me, our new board member, Kelly Gant, and welcome to the regional board family. I'm 68 around the state. And but really valuable, actually, if we did a little map of all of the board members and where they come from. Trinity Center is an important corner of the state that we need to represent, so we really appreciate
it. The center of all things.
Center of Trinity. So that's great. In January, we issued the stormwater strategy. It sounds, you know, like, you know, okay, three words, stormwater strategy. It was a lot of effort from state and regional board staff working together with stakeholders really trying to shift the paradigm from stormwater as a hazard and a pollutant source to stormwater as a resource and part of our water supply and ecosystem management portfolio. And so to do that means we have to kind of shift gears on how we approach things in our regulatory and funding programs and try to engage water purveyors into the stormwater management and land use. And so it's very complicated but important, and it's exciting because there's a lot of innovation going on nationwide on stormwater as a resource. And so we have specific projects we're working on at the state board that we want to make sure your staff are participating in or aware of as far as setting up the toolbox to help us really connect the dots between meeting water quality standards and the way we develop land and how water moves over the land in urban areas. So it's an exciting area of technical development, and the stakeholders are real excited about it too, because it's going to lead us to a long-term vision that's more sustainable. In February, we adopted two resolutions. One was acknowledging the law about the human right to water, safe, affordable, accessible water, and how that, in essence, is to be thought of as an articulation of a strategy within our strategic vision. That is, anything the State Water Board does, and really the regional water boards do, that would affect the human right to water, we should note that and explain how we're implementing the human right to water. It's more of an issue for our Division of Drinking Water, maybe, and our 24 district offices around the state, as opposed to the regional water boards. But we, you know, in this resolution, talk about how the regional boards interact with this fundamental strategic vision. We also had a resolution about tribal beneficial uses. So I want to acknowledge the leadership of the North Coast Water Board and working with stakeholders here in establishing cultural beneficial use of water. And that has led us to recommend staff explore more of a statewide approach that regions can exercise in their own discretion in the future to protect beneficial uses to support cultural uses and tribal uses of water, including fish consumption and all tribal traditions. In March, late February, I want to acknowledge another North Coast effort here, the workshop that you hosted on the cyanobacteria harmful algal blooms and an issue you're developing in consultation with stakeholders, tribes here in this region, but also it's a statewide issue that we see Central Valley and Central Coast, San Francisco Bay Water Board struggling with this issue coming up. And the technical tools and understanding of it are evolving, and even our drinking water division showed up and talked about public health threats from cyanobacteria and source water supply, specifically in Clear Lake. There isn't a big public health emergency over it, but it's something that we need to keep an eye on because it seems to be a trend that's increasing. And according to scientists, this is a global issue that seems to be tracking with higher temperatures in the atmosphere combined with a higher PCO2, that is the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, is part of the mechanism that selects for cyanobacteria over more beneficial algae in our water systems. Something we have to keep a close eye on. It's a symptom of many dimensions of our water management, both discharges and diversions. So I want to acknowledge your leadership, and Catherine Carter did a great job in organizing that workshop. It was attended by many regional boards. Some good news, we have some contract money through SGMA, Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and we took our whole bulk share of that, $1.2 million over 5 years, and we combine that with Sonoma County Water Agency based on our discussions with them in the SGMA development process to fund the U.S. Geological Survey to develop an integrated hydrologic surface water groundwater model for the Russian River watershed. And so this we see as a significant statewide priority to develop tools to really understand groundwater surface water interactions so we can sustainably manage groundwater where those interactions are critical for multiple beneficial uses, including ecosystem and water supply for agriculture and water supply for municipal use. I just want to mention that we issued $500 million in bonds working with the California Infrastructure Bank last month to augment our clean water state revolving fund program. We've changed some terms in that program to make it more attractive to municipalities and water districts, wastewater districts, to help fund infrastructure improvements. We've changed it from a 20-year term to a 30-year term, and the interest rates are quite low. And we actually set aside almost $1 billion in really low 1% interest loans for recycled water as a drought response. And that was all gobbled up by districts around the state in a nice distributed manner as a drought response. And it's exciting to see this infrastructure get a shot in the arm. As a civil engineer, I like to see folks going to work rebuilding our infrastructure in the state. And so we're excited about it, and we believe in it, and that's why we're taking a gamble, a risk, in leveraging $500 million. And we're going to go up over $1.2 billion over the next few years. But we're watching closely, because the most important thing to board members is our AAA rating, that we're collecting the interest and keeping churning the funds through the system that really benefit local communities. And we're looking for every opportunity through our Office of Sustainable Solutions to make sure that disadvantaged communities are getting the opportunity to take advantage of these infrastructure funds. So it's a real high priority for us, and our staff continue to try to make improvements to the system to make it more consumer-friendly, user-friendly. There's one application, and our staff help people determine whether there are grants available, like through Prop 1, or what kind of a loan package that we can put together. So this is really something we're excited about and really want to help local communities to be successful. Upcoming, on April 19th, we're considering a statewide water recycling order. This builds on an order we issued in 2014 that some folks in your region, like for instance Healdsburg, have taken advantage of to beneficially use recycled wastewater for different uses, especially agriculture. Going to be now moved into water recycling requirements, and our drinking water division is actually working on the general permit. And we're working through issues about what time frame or what should we make the folks that are enrolled in general orders at the regional board level move to the state level. And I just call attention to an overarching goal that we have as state water board members is to have good information, good consistent information on the amount of water being recycled, because we haven't had a good estimate since 2009, and in our water recycling policy from 2009, we have specific mandates that need to be met by 2020. That's only 4 years from now, and 7 years have gone by, and we don't have great estimates. So I'm hoping through a general order, we can do what we did with the urban conservation regulations, which is get consistent data statewide on water production. This, in this case, it would be recycled water production. So I just want to call attention to that issue as we work through things like general orders. Those are some of the goals that we have, is standardization of information. On April 20th, we will have a workshop on the urban conservation regulations. The drought is so complicated this year. It just hasn't been easy for us to, as state water board, to issue a consistent message, because the rainfall is not consistent. You look at the drought monitor map, where we're at here is not in a drought. Humboldt County is not in a drought. And as you go down the coast, it's abnormally dry, but that's a soil condition metric. Water supply conditions are pretty solid in a lot of our states. But if you go south of the Delta, you start to see significant lack of water supply. In the end, El Nino was kind of a medium event, and we have an average rainfall. There's a little bit above average north of the San Francisco Bay Area, maybe 125% of the Sacramento Valley Basin. But storage in the San Joaquin Valley Basin in the big reservoirs is down around 40% of average. So we have a real uneven picture in the state. And with that, we're going to have a workshop on April 20th to really get input on the current urban conservation regulations, you know, the mandatory percent reductions compared to 2013, get input on this program that goes through October. We're also hosting a workshop on May 2nd that is really focused more on the long term. That is not percent reduction from a couple of years ago, but what are appropriate performance standards that we can all agree make sense for different parts of the state in different conditions for outdoor landscaping and indoor use and that sort of thing, so that we're not kind of, you know, enduring the controversies that we saw with the emergency regulation and, you know, somewhat arbitrary baseline that we had to select to be effective. And we're all in favor of a more long-term vision. And so I'm sure that's of great interest here in this part of the state, is, you know, why do we have mandatory reductions when it's not a drought anymore? So we're paying attention. We want common sense to prevail, and we're having these workshops today for that goal. Let's see. Real quickly, there was a drought action we did where we really had almost zero fees for anybody who wanted to do temporary diversions of stormwater to recharge groundwater in our water rights division. And one of those, one of the two parties that have been granted permission include one here in this region in the Scott Valley, Scott River, the irrigation district there, got permission to divert 5.4 thousand acre feet to recharge groundwater. And so there's this idea that El Nino is coming. What's the state doing to make sure we capture stormwater when it comes in all of our drought and arid areas? So this was one example, and it's a learning experience. And you know, Thomas Harder of UC Davis is involved in evaluating the technical success of that effort, or, you know, and the technical issues. So I wanted to highlight that. It's something the state board's involved in that's here in this region. And I think I'm going to skip the legislative update because it's kind of not as hot right now, and be open to any questions. I look forward to the agenda items today. I'll be spending time here to learn about the issues you're grappling with today.
Board member questions? All right, well, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
That brings us to the